no sin beyond grace. Now your host, Tal Prince.
Well, good evening, North America. This is actually Tiny G here, and I'm here to welcome you to our show. We've got a great lineup for you tonight, and we're just really excited that you're here listening to us in the Pharisee Free Zone. Always love to have you. Just to throw it out for you, our number tonight, as always, 1-877-800-8645. We want to have some good interaction with you guys. Right now, my pastor, Tal Prince, the host of this show, he is in North Carolina. He's been speaking all day today, and he is coming to you by phone from North Carolina. So let's welcome him to the show. How you doing, Tal?
Man, I'm doing all right. I have spoken nearly for 6 hours today, so I'm a little gassed.
Woo!
But glad to be here. We were with the just great church here in the Raleigh-Durham area. If you're ever through here, swing by Southbridge Fellowship. It's about a four-year-old plant. They meet in the Briar Creek Theater here. Great pastor named Scott Lair. Just a really good guy. He gets it. He gets grace. He gets the gospel. We know that by the simple fact that they invited a wingnut like me in.
Yeah, that's right.
If they're going to bring a porn guy like me in, that they get grace, right? And so what a great place. Great services today. We had two services. Really, they straddled between two theaters inside the multiplex, and they do that twice. So
wow.
we had good turnouts in there today, and then did the porn presentation this afternoon for a group of their church from about 4 to 6. Lots of good questions, lots of good interaction with them, and lots of people trying to figure this stuff out and try to figure out how do we safeguard the home, how do we deal with this problem, how do we confront this problem, how do we lovingly, grace this out of people, how do we do that? And so exciting and fun. We've had a great time. And Jim Coble, he's here traveling with me and keeping me accountable and keeping me safe and keeping me out of trouble. Also, Jack Gilliland is up here with us. He had to come up and pick a car up, so he said, I got to go up to Raleigh-Durham, and so he came on up this weekend. So a little Tapestry of Hope flavor up here in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, they were conspicuously missing from the Tapestry of Hope gathering tonight. Let me just say, we missed you guys.
Yeah, I bet it showed.
Especially when it came to breaking down the room.
Yeah, I bet that's right. But let me introduce our very special guest. I advertised this last week, our very special guest, my lovely wife, Teresa. How are you doing, baby?
I'm great, thanks. Happy to be here.
Well, you should be.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to ask a question tonight. We want to talk about affairs. That's a big topic in the news, but a big topic in marriage, big topic in marriage and family, particularly in churches in our day and age. So let's talk about affairs. Let me ask you a question to get us started. What do you think the reason is that married couples have affairs? Why do married people have affairs? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Why is it that married people have affairs? Or why do people have affairs? With a married person, they may be single, right? We got Riel Hunter. We've got all of that. So what is the reason people have affairs? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Teresa and I have got obviously some takes on this, and we'll be talking about that on the other side of this upcoming break. But we really want to let you know we need your input on this, all right? So don't be bashful. If you've had an affair, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your perspective on that. We want to hear what went down in that whole thing. Not looking for details, but, what happened with the affair? Did your marriage survive it? Did your marriage die as a result of it? So why do people have affairs? And if you had one, call us and let us know how it wound out. Did your marriage get back together? What happened? Did it fall apart? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. You can also, you can tweet us on Twitter. We're doing that tonight. I'm there. I'm getting some responses to this question on Twitter. So don't be bashful, all right? Give us a shout. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Why do married people have affairs? And if you had one, tell us how it wound out. So we're going to jump break. We're going to be back on the other side of this break. You are listening to Tal Prince Live, coming to you from Birmingham, Alabama, and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina tonight on Sirius Satellite. This is the best radio on radio. We'll be right back. send it directly to me, just at Tal Prince. That'll get to me. And very blessed and excited to have my wife, Teresa, with me tonight back on the air. So, and we've got Garrett, Tiny G, Irby working the dials, and Casey, Seabass Hobbs, screening the calls. All is well in the world. We are with our traditional set, and that's great. So, so babe, what do you think? I mean, why is it that married people have affairs? What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's kind of twofold. I think, one, so much goes unsaid. I think conflicts at home are frustrated about, well, he didn't take out the trash, or, you know, just regular everyday life. So much gets stuffed, and that doesn't go away. And then to escape reality, I think a lot of times they just think, well, you know, this person that isn't my wife is paying me attention. It's going to be, you know, she adores me. My wife doesn't adore me. You know, it's just, it's an escape from reality. And they don't have the everyday pressures of home and family and finances. And so it's easy to run to these other little G things that, that give temporary satisfaction, but really destroy at the end.
Yeah, we talked about that here at Southbridge Fellowship this morning here in Raleigh-Durham. You know, we talked about this concept of, and we've talked about it on the show before, but kind of driving this concept of the enemy's battle plan with us is threefold, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. That is his agenda, and he doesn't sleep, okay? He's working 24/7 to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that typically through giving us, you know, convincing us that we are in a hell, that there is this hell that we're trapped in, and that hell may be a bad marriage, and so now your dysfunctional savior to get you away from that, because the opposite of hell is heaven, so you want to be there, so you need a dysfunctional savior to get you there, because the enemy doesn't have a functional savior. Everything he offers is dysfunctional by definition, and so here is someone to have an affair with to take you to that dysfunctional heaven of having an affair, you know, and having physical activity that you may not be getting at home. And I think, baby, you break up some great points about escaping reality, right? I mean, that's very, very common. And so you, but this is a never ending cycle, because you get to that dysfunctional heaven and it doesn't last long. And then you're back in hell and you need to hop that dysfunctional savior again. And so you go over and over and over and over this cycle and you never can get out of it. It's a never ending cycle. And so it's very, very difficult. So, but we've got some callers on the line. Let's go ahead and get to this. Let's bring up Dan from Iowa on line one. Dan, you're listening to Tal Prince Live. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, man. We say thank you for listening to the show and thanks for calling in, man. So what's the story, Dan?
Well, I caught my wife with another man a few months ago. And I had no idea what was going on until I actually saw them together.
Wow.
And, that's pretty brutal.
That's a tough day right there, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it's been pretty rough ever since. And, you know, I'm listening to a lot of these things that, you know, you guys were just saying, you and your wife were just saying, and I can relate to that. You know, there was some dissatisfaction in our relationship on both sides for some time. And, you know, I guess, you know, she went to the bottle and she went to other men to try to solve that problem. And it's just brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And, you know, as it turns out, you know, apparently it's all my fault, according to her. And, you know,
can you tell us more about that, Dan? When she said it's your fault, did she give you any explanation to that, or just said it's your fault?
Well, yeah. If I would have shown her, you know, more affection throughout the day, then she wouldn't have sought other men. Now, you know, our marital, you know, relationships never changed or slowed down. I mean, our physical life was pretty good, you know, all throughout our marriage. I mean, it was, you know, I certainly didn't have any complaints. And in that regard, I think it was just the, you know, our emotional tie to each other had been strained with, you know, just our our relationship wasn't all that as close as it as either of us wanted it to be.
Hmm. Well, baby, what do you think?
Where does it stand now with you and your wife?
Oh, she, you know, soon after, actually right before I caught her, she had moved out to a guest house on our property, uh-huh. and that's where, you know, she called this guy in the middle of the night to come over.
Right.
And, you know, within a few days after that, she had filed for divorce, and she's moved out. She's gone.
Right.
And she's very angry, very belligerent. It's gotten real, real nasty.
Right. Well, I mean, we've seen it before, and, you know, I was kind of on your end of it, but, you know, and Tal confessed to things. But the dynamic is often turning fights on you. And so, I mean, to see that it was turned on, it was your fault, is not surprising. And then at the same time, it takes both of us to do this dance. And I call it the dysfunctional dance. I mean, I was in a dysfunctional dance with Tal and didn't at first realize any of my part in it because I felt victimized. I felt like, you know, here I have been faithful in this marriage. I have done all this. And then he, you know, is into pornography. So, you know, several years outside of that and coming to a place that I, you know, saw if she's gone at this point, looking to God and to for him to show you what brought you into that marriage, what brought you into that place. And I don't know if codependency is in your world, but it very well could be. And then how you can work through that so that, you know, if God gives you a second marriage, you don't have something similar. Because so many times we think, well, I wasn't the one that cheated, so it's not my problem. And then just jump into another relationship and end up with the exact same person, just a different mask. Yeah.
Well, that is a fear. I certainly don't want to do that again.
Yeah, that would be really important, and Teresa, that was a great answer, babe. Yeah, I think that's what you really need to look at, because what we would tell people, it sounds like in this situation that there's probably a lot more going on with her. You know, and that is what, you know, addicts, and she, I'm not saying she is one, but what I'm saying from my perspective as an addict, I know my strategy was always to make it Teresa's fault or to change the topic by making her go on the defense. Because yeah. I knew I was so wrong, Dan, right? I knew everything I had done was so wrong, but I didn't want to confront that, so I needed to make that discussion change and make something Teresa's fault.
Yeah, you know, it really started, you know, 4, 5, or 6 years ago with the alcohol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this last year, well, the beginning of 2009, the alcohol abuse just really, really ramped up, and you know, looking back, I think I could see some, you know, huge changes in her behavior, and I think that's probably when she started with other men.
Amanda, and I hate this for you, but what a special message you share with the listeners, because you talked about the alcohol started about 5 years ago and then it really ramped up. And that's what addiction does. It
Yep.
starts out and we think we can handle this. And even you or I on the other side think we can handle our spouse like this. I mean, we're going to Mm-hmm. white knuckle it. We can make it through
Right.
this. And
Yep.
And then it does escalate. And it's the same with pornography and sex addiction. And so, and addictions can cross over. And so, you know, seeing a little bit of porn and a spouse sees it and thinks, oh, I hate that they were looking at that. And you feel devastated and you try and outdo the porn. You know, I'm going to be more available physically. So,
yep.
And you can't do it. If they've got that chemical reaction for pornography, it is going to keep escalating
yep.
and lead to acting mm-hmm. out. So, it's a good encouragement for those listeners who think this is in their family to really, seek some help, because it doesn't
yeah.
go away. Yeah.
No, it doesn't, and I'm racked with guilt because I didn't seek help. I mean, I begged her, you know, the kids never liked it. You know, we all tried to do something about it, but we just didn't know what to do.
Oh no,
you
yeah,
know, you know,
yeah, there's
not
a lot of resources, and sadly, because this is something that we as Christians don't really want to talk about and engage too much. We're uncomfortable talking about it,
right?
But we got to start talking about this. It's eating us up, man. And so, Dan, we're so sorry that you've had to go through this and been through this. But man, you get some help on you, because what we do know is if you don't deal with your stuff in this, you're going to go pick the same woman again.
And you mentioned your kids, and you have such an opportunity to change their life.
Yeah.
By letting them talk about these things in an open way, not be ashamed of who their mother is or how your marriage came apart. Because living real and being, I mean, God allows these stories, as heartbreaking as some of them are. And that was the hardest thing for me, is I did not want sex and porn in my story. I hadn't been, you know, I didn't feel like I deserved that. But when I surrendered that to God and let Him use this for His glory, it has been incredible. So we'll be praying for you and your children and your wife, your ex.
Thank you. Please do.
Thanks so much for calling, Dan. You give us a call, 877-800-8645. Lines are full, but keep calling. You're listening to Tal Prince Live, Sirius Satellite, Channel 161. This is Family Net. Right, you are listening to Tal Prince Live on a Sunday night here in North America. So glad to have you with us. Great to be talking about a difficult topic. Great to be talking about something that we typically don't talk about much in church, especially in today's world, because it's so much easier to keep that mask on and act like we got it all together, right? But we know we don't. We know we're broken. We know we're sinners. Listen, let me just clear the deck for you again. We want to remind this. We want to remind each other of this all the time. There is no point scale for sin anywhere in the Bible. Okay, people having affairs are no more or less offensive to God than the people that are gossiping. Okay, there is no difference. Our consequences here are different, but it doesn't mean that we are any worse or better than anybody else. And so we've got to, you know, just kind of drop that and be able to talk openly about all of these issues that we need to be engaging, because it's eating us up and marriages are being destroyed, and that's tearing at the fabric of our church and our society. So we want to talk about this tonight. Want to thank Dan again for having the courage and transparency to call and put that out there. That's not easy, folks. And so we want to thank him for doing that. So our question again, why do you think married people have affairs? Or if you have been there, we'd like to know, or your spouse did that to you, we'd like to kind of hear the experience, if you're willing to share that. Okay, that's what we're looking for. We've got lots of answers, you know, coming to us. And let us give you the number again, 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Tell you what, let's go to Sally in Ohio on line two. Sally, welcome to Tal Prince Live. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, thanks so much for calling. We're glad to hear from you. So what do you have to tell us, Sally?
Well, I've been on both sides of the fence. I was a believer, married for 20 years, and I had my husband, first husband was not a believer, and I had an affair. Nothing I can say could rationalize it or justify it. You know, sin is sin. The reason I think that I had it, though, was for validation, because I didn't even realize until after my husband never found out about the affair, actually. But the man that I had the affair with was somebody that gave me validation. That was something I was missing in my marriage. It wasn't until after I was divorced and I went through counseling and I realized my husband was emotionally abusive. And that degradation and criticism was part of that.
Right.
And then consequently after I ended up marrying a man who I'm still married to, and who's a believer, and that was a huge part of my decision making, with somebody that was a believer and that we were evenly yoked. And he was a leader in the church, and we made sure we could worship together, and we thought we were doing all the right things. And our pastor started to ask us to disciple some couples in our church. And 2.5 years into our marriage, I found out he was having an affair with one of the women that we were, the wife of a couple we were discipling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was devastating. That was 4 years ago. I guess the affair lasted about 6 months. He was taken out of leadership in the church. And I really felt God was calling me to stay with him and try to make our marriage work. But I can tell you it has not been easy.
Right.
And 4 years after the end of that affair, I still find a part of my heart is still closed off for fear of being hurt again. Mm. We've consequently changed churches. We have been through a lot. I can tell you the leadership in our church was not supportive. I had asked our pastor and associate pastor, you know, to hold his feet to the fire and make him accountable. And they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very disheartening. And, you know, the deacons board knew, you know, they knew about it. And there was nobody that ever approached him to say, hey, how are you doing? And that was really hard. We're in a church now that, you know, we were just honest with the pastor when we came there and told him. But the reason I think my husband had the affair was pride. Because this woman, I loved him. I knew his faults. But this woman saw him as a, quote, godly man. And she was looking for something. And for whatever reason, it fed onto that, whatever it was, that need for to be, you know, pride. And,
how?
And go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sally. How has it, you know, because you went through, you had an affair in your first marriage, and then it sounded like you got counseling after the divorce?
Yeah.
Okay.
I started getting counseling near the end of my marriage, the first marriage.
Uh-huh.
Because I had problems with depression, and I knew something wasn't right. He refused to go to counseling. And so I was about 4 months into marriage, and 4 months into counseling,
uh-huh.
And that's when my first husband asked me for a divorce. And he was, I suspect, having a relationship with a coworker. They ended up getting married within less than a year.
Yeah.
So in your second marriage, you were both, you know, involved in the church and able to worship together.
Uh-huh.
How much going into the marriage did you, like, was he married before? Did you have a lot of counseling together before to work? Or was it just kind of like, we are in church together, this is just such a great thing, and we worship together, and this is going to be a fresh start?
Actually, we were worshiping, we met through a divorce recovery program.
Uh-huh.
And we were worshiping in different churches, and when we started dating and dating seriously, we sought out a church together where to see if we could worship together and that we were evenly yoked.
Mm-hmm.
So then we found a church together, and we were actually leading a divorce group whenever at our church when all this came down. And there had been concerns going into the marriage,
uh-huh.
But it was one area where I never, ever, 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 ever thought that that would be an issue.
Right. But there were other areas where you had concerns, but... Is that
right. But not as far as sexually.
Right.
I never thought he would ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been a really hard struggle. We went through marital counseling, Christian marital counseling, when that happened. The anger and bitterness and the difficulty I've had trying to forgive him and her.
Right.
You know, because she was my, quote, friend also.
Right.
And it's just, it has been hard. And, you know, we're 4 years out from it.
Right.
And I'm still trying to recover.
And do you have a group of women or other believers that you can just really be honest with about your marriage, about these struggles, about your concerns?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Yeah, I do. I have, you know, my sisters in Christ, you know, I mean, I have a circle of friends. When this happened, we had a circle of Christian couples, you know, and they didn't know it. It was a big, dark secret. And I said, you need to tell them because, you know, you need to be accountable. And again, none of the men would hold him to any kind of accountability.
Right. Well, it's such a tough place. And it's hard when you're the one that is trying to not police him, but to push him to accountability, push him to do this. You can't be responsible for him. And that's really the hard place. It has to be a place where he sees, look, I went that low. I had the affair. I don't want to do that again. And so he seeks out accountability, other men that will keep him from going there, and where you are free to get yourself healthy and to take your responsibility in the marriage without also having to take care of him. And it's not a good dynamic anyway. I mean, if I was the one having to push Tal out there to, you go confess, you be sure you do this. I mean, it's like a mother-son relationship and not a husband-wife.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And so that puts an extra strain on your marriage. I would love it if you would email in, and maybe we could email back and forth. I do two groups with women. We're about to go to a break here, but that where we just work through some of this and find ways where we can take self-responsibility, look to God to show us what is there in our past, in our life now, that enables this in a marriage. And it's just incredible the more these women and I work on myself, and then I can come to the marriage healthier, the changes that happen. Because when I'm just constantly on Tao, it just doesn't, it's just kind of a vicious circle that goes down and down and down. So,
right.
Sally, we appreciate you calling so
yeah.
much. And the email, Tao, what's the email?
Hope, H-O-P-E, the word hope, hope@TaoPrinceLive.com. Yeah, Sally, please email us and Teresa will get with you. She's wonderful at this, okay? And thanks for calling
thanks
in.
Thanks for the time,
thanks,
Sally.
And thanks for being transparent enough to share all that. I know that's not easy. Thank you.
Everything's going to be all right this morning.
All right. A little blues for you on a Sunday night. Never hurt nobody. We're so glad that you are with us. So glad that you are listening to your Pharisee Free Zone. No. No, no, no. Topic off limits. No sin beyond grace. Not here. We are purveyors of the gospel, preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who can deliver us from anything at any time and can bring us out and forgive us and justify us and begin to make us more into his image through the power of his Holy Spirit. It is an amazing thing to think that even the sins of adultery and having affairs and all of that can be covered and was in fact covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. An amazing thought that we can be presented before a holy, righteous God as completely innocent. And in fact, we have the righteousness of Christ. An amazing thing. But boy, you know, affairs are a very real problem, a very big problem, and a very rapidly growing problem in the church today. It's something we got to start talking about, got to start getting a lot more comfortable with. And Sally's story was a difficult one. Dan's story was a difficult one, but there's not an easy affair story. All right, people get hurt. You know, we've heard a couple of themes in these, and if you've got an opinion on this or a take on this, we'd love to hear from you. 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. But in our ministry, we see this stuff all of the time. And here's one of the things that we see a lot, right? I mean, it's that the affair is fantasy land, right? I mean, it's because there's no bills to pay. There's you're not around for, you know, the whining kids or the fighting kids or the change the diaper time. You're not around for any of that. You're just meeting typically, usually for a sexual encounter, because that becomes the time you spend together is spent really typically having sex. That's what the affair is usually always about. Starts emotionally, starts with validation, starts with appreciation, because the number one reason that men report having affairs is lack of appreciation. Women very often report a lack of validation. Men report a lack of appreciation. But that doesn't excuse you from the biblical covenant that you made. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make it all right. But that affair gets so attractive because you're drawn in by either appreciation or validation. And then off you go. And then it just turns into having sex. And there's kind of that taboo secret component to it, which kind of heightens the little romance of it and the foolishness of it. And you're just meeting for clandestine sex. And you think, man, this is great, because really I get to meet with this person, have sex, and then go home. And it's really sex with no responsibility, right? And a lot of us are drawn to that. And so, babe, what do you think about that?
Oh, I agree, and I kept thinking about Sally, and, you know, she talked about I had concerns going into my second marriage, but not this. And I mean, I thought about myself, too. And, you know, looking back, I can see plenty. If our daughters were telling us, hey, Mom, I met this guy, and this is this and this and this, and we're honest about everything that was even in our relationship, we would be like, okay, girls, let's just sit down and talk about this. But mm-hmm. I so wanted the relationship and was dependent on that relationship mm-hmm. that I was willing to settle for a lot. And I am grateful for you, and you know that.
But, that was a nice recovery, baby.
But no, no, you know, I mean, when there's, you know, there were signs that I, you know, was not the one and only best girl in your world. You know, just, and so then but you ignore that. You so think marriage is going to fix it. I want this relationship. And if he wants to marry me, then we're going to be okay. And, so just as an encouragement to people that these addiction doesn't go away, these concerns you have, true intimacy is being able to talk about anything and everything and being together anyway. And we have that now, and I'm so thankful. And so that's just my heart for our listeners, that they would not feel like, oh, I can't bring up that subject, because if I talk to him about that, that's going to make him mad. He might leave me. He might just not speak to me. That's not intimacy. It doesn't matter what you can do in the bedroom if you can't talk about these things.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is to be able to start talking about it, you know, because you stuff stuff. You kind of bury stuff and emotions, and that turns to resentment, and you're not sharing that with your spouse, and you're just kind of storing up justification for adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You're storing up, you're making a case.
Or bitterness. I mean, on the codependent side, if they're not going to go and find someone else, they just get mad. God, I mean, I used to say, God's a righteous judge. God is a righteous judge. And that was no way to live. Seemed kind of pretty and spiritual, though, I guess.
Yes, it sounds wonderful.
Yes.
But, you know, we kind of store up these and make a case to do it. You look at, you know, Jesse James and Sandra Bullock, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all this is coming out. You know, he's saying not everything you're reading is true, but I hope, you know, Sandra can find a way in her heart to forgive me. I've made mistakes. He's saying all of that. And you look at the woman that he is apparently, the reports that he's had an affair with, I mean, she looks radically different than Sandra Bullock, you know, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the other woman, you know, or the other man being necessarily more attractive than the non-offending spouse. It has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. We saw that same thing with the Tiger Woods incident, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you take a look at all the women that Tiger was with, and you got to understand, his wife was softcore porn for a lot of people. She was a mm-hmm. bikini model for years.
Yeah.
And, there's no arguing that she's an attractive female. But these women that he was with, I think most people have said, and you know, that they're far less attractive than her. How do you think that makes Elon feel? How do you think Sandra Bullock feels at the moment, knowing this person that my spouse had an affair with is, you know, is not as attractive as I am? How could they be attracted to that? But it's not the physical attraction, right, hon?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, it's, I think it's opportunity a lot of times. that, and a lot of girls like Sandra Bullock and I don't know, Elin aren't, you know, going around. I was not ever, if a guy looked at me and I knew he was being flirty, I would say something right away to you. I mean, even in, on Facebook, I've gotten, inboxes from a guy I went to, high school with, and it came in. I was like, this is a little too friendly. It should be on my wall. No reason to be talking about. And remember when we passed notes? And so immediately I told you, I was like, honey, you need to look at this. And then another guy that sent stuff. So, I mean, for me, my personality is not to be wooed by any of that. Right. And I'm just afraid to even keep the door cracked open at all. So I just probably set the alarm off at the first sign of anything. But
That's great. I mean, that's key, because here's what happens. There's and listen, you're listening, you're driving, you know the deal here, right? That you get a contact, because how many affairs are starting on Facebook now, right?
A whole bunch, apparently.
And, you know, that's happening all the time. Any contact that you get from somebody that you instinctively feel, you know what, I better not share this with my spouse. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that is the first alarm bell that means you need to tell them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that the enemy hops up, again, steal, kill, and destroy, it's a 24/7 agenda that he's got with you. And if he gets you with the power of secret, if he gets you thinking, hey, you know, you need to keep this a secret, trust me, he is going to wedge that in and destroy you with it. And he's gonna steal your happiness, and he's going to kill your marriage, okay? It's what's going to happen. Secrets are deadly. They cannot be allowed. When you get phone calls, text messages, emails, inbox messages from a member of the opposite sex, you really need to be letting your spouse know that. You know, you need to be comfortable with your spouse, you know, seeing your Facebook account and seeing, you know, seeing your Twitter account and seeing all that. Not if you feel the need to hide that, that's a problem. That's a sign that stuff is growing there. It doesn't need to be growing, and you need to be spending that time emotionally investing in your spouse. What do you think about that, honey?
Oh, I agree. And it was a good feeling for me to be able to say, honey, look at this. I just want to show you. This is the way I'm responding.
Yeah.
And you weren't, you know, I'm going to take care of him. You let me handle it. You trusted me to handle it. And it brought us closer together in a lot of ways. And I think as we parent children too, that's what we need to model for them, that they can show us anything that comes through on that computer. We're not going to flip out. We're not going to go try and get kids arrested or get their parents and, you know, but being able to respond without having to be so secret about it.
Secrets are death. I mean,
yeah,
there is nothing good about a secret. There is nothing, nothing, nothing good about a secret. You need to work to keep secrets out of your relationships. They are never helpful. They are never healthy. Okay. You know, surprises, fine. Surprises come out in the open. Secrets never do until they're exposed and people are hurt and it's too late. Okay, so we want to be very, very careful. Any urge that you get to hide a relationship, hide any communication from a spouse or someone that you were in a committed dating relationship with, even for the singles listening, that is something you need to know is a problem. Get it out in the open. Tell that other person. It's oddly enough going to grow the relationship, but the enemy tells you what? Don't tell her. She's going to be mad at you.
Right, and when we come back from the break, you know, one of my favorite audiobooks right now is Boundaries. And there's something on that too, that it has nothing to do with affairs, but just taking the time to share.
That would be great. We
we'll
love
touch
Quiet
that on
Townsend here at Tal Prince Live. They understand that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we live in a Pharisee-free zone. There is no topic off limits, no sin beyond grace. And I'm going to tell you, we love folks who get that, and Cloud and Townsend obviously do. And we'll talk about that when we come back. We just got a very short segment when we come back from the other side of this break. So it's going to be very, very short. So we'll probably not take a caller. But thanks to Dan and Sally for sharing tonight and being so open and transparent. Please do email us, hope at Tal Prince Live. All of you can do that, hope at talprincelive.com. We want to hear from you. We want to interact with you. You can follow us also at Twitter. And we're going to be back on the other side of this break. Thanks so much for listening tonight. You are wonderful. You're listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite Channel 161. This is the best radio on radio.
We were talking about, you know, Facebook when that guy from high school sent me the note, and I told you right away, Tal, and on things like that, I'm terrified to keep a secret. I tell it right away. But things that I think might hurt your feelings or frustrate you, those are the things that I have stuffed and used to stuff all the time. And even now, I really have to work and make myself not keep that from you, because those secrets are damaging too. And I think those secrets are so common in our families, with our children, with our parents, with our best friends. I mean, if we really start to think about our relationships, how many times are we not truly honest with people that are supposed to be the very close to us, closest to us? And he was talking in there about when we take the time to really tell the people that we're in relationship with what we need and what is important to us, that that is giving to the relationship, that that is real intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That when I stuff something just to keep the peace, or stuff something not to hurt your feelings, that that goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I might not get it out to you, but I'm stuffing it inside, and eventually that is going to do its damage. And so, you know, the big affairs and all these big secrets, it's kind of like the point scale for sin.
Right.
You know, there's these big things. But even in these little things, secrets are so damaging in our relationships and our families.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, we've got to work at it. This is the work of a relationship. Affairs typically don't happen overnight, okay? I think both of our callers talked about kind of the fuse that led to it. You know, and you've got to work at sharing all your feelings and emotions in the relationship. That generates and increases the actual intimacy of the marriage. That's what you've got to have. If you're, you know, really, we've learned very quickly that if there is, you know, sexual dysfunction in the marriage, there's not very much sex going on. We know one thing. We know there's an intimacy disorder going down. We know there's not very much genuine intimacy in the marriage, because it flows from that. And just because if you are having a lot of sex in your marriage, does not mean you've got great intimacy. That's not necessarily true, but it is necessarily true that if you're not, then we know that there's an intimacy problem there in the marriage. And that comes from stuffing feelings and not engaging the conversations, even though they're difficult to have. We got to still have them, because that's part of living the gospel together. And we forgive each other, extend grace to each other, and stay close together in the gospel. And that's what moves us forward in the marriage.
Definitely. And we can practice this with our friends, with our children, with our parents. I mean, there's not a relationship that we have that we can't practice some of this.
No, you need to have these in all your relationships. And really, if you teach your kids, dads listening, your number one job is to teach your kids what intimacy is. That is a major thing for a father to instill in their children. Teach mm-hmm. them what genuine intimacy is. When we see teenage girls getting sexually active, it's usually because dad didn't teach them what intimacy is, and they didn't have a good relationship. When we see boys getting sexually active and getting deep into porn, it's because dad has not taught them same-sex intimacy. Intimacy is not sex. Very important message. And people say they're seeking intimacy in affairs. No, they're seeking sex in affairs.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So thanks so much for listening tonight. We are so glad to have this opportunity to be with you, to share with you, to do gospel in the life together with you. So let us know. Let us hear from you. Hope at talprincelive.com. We will be back next week. You have been listening to Tal Prince Live. And so for my lovely wife, Teresa, Garrett, Tiny G. Irby, and Casey Seabass Hobbs, this is Tal Prince signing off, saying we will see you next week, right here, Sirius Satellite 161. This is Family Net.